This is Jordan Seculo, pen in hand. President Trump poised to sign tax reform.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
On this vote, the ayes are 51, the nays are 48. The Senate recedes from its amendment and concurs in H.R. 1 with further amendment. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is passed.
After eight straight years of slow growth and underperformance, America is ready to take off. We can't sell this to the American people. We ought to go into another line of work.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This is a moment years in the making for congressional Republicans. The House will vote on the bill one more time this morning. This after it squeaked by the Senate 51-48 in a late night vote packed with debate and theatrics.
And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110, and we're talking tax reform one more day here on Jay Sekulow Live, focusing in on the House of Representatives. I believe it was Stan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, who kind of predicted yesterday and I don't know if it's a warning, but let everyone know that this could be the way it moved forward. And so I want to go right to Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C., because, Stan, you mentioned yesterday that there could be an issue or two, smaller scale in the Senate with the parliamentarian. Could you just explain to people real quickly what's happening right now in Congress on the tax reform?
Sure. It's the reason I've got bloodshot eyes today, Jordan, because this vote took into about 1:30 in the morning. There were protests up in the gallery. There are a number of points of orders raised by Democrats. Essentially, Jordan, there were three provisions, very minor provisions, that Democrats found that were in violation of the Byrd Rule, which, of course, governs reconciliation proceedings. We can go through them, but I just want to give you one of them right now, Jordan. They literally objected to the title of this bill, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. That was one of the three provisions that violated the Byrd Rule, had to come out. It still passed the Senate. Jordan, this is a technicality. Now it has to go back to the House. They're going to vote any minute here, and that bill will go to the president's desk. But again, the title of the bill was one of the three things that the Democrats objected to. It got struck out, and that's why the House has to vote again this morning.
Yeah, all to kind of stall, but that could backfire as well, because I think there's more attention on it now than there probably would be at 2 in the morning. And it gives the Republicans all day to talk about this issue. And I say that because there are no Democrat support. Don't expect that to change. I think there's a handful of Republicans in the House who oppose this legislation, all from the deeply blue states, California, New York, New Jersey. And I think that's because of, again, they've bought into that theory that on the property tax and the city taxes, state taxes, those kind of issues. But we want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, focusing in on legislation that we can say is finalized. This is heading to the president. The House will vote soon, and we'll update you on that exactly when this is finalized, but we know that is moving forward. There's nothing Democrats are going to do to stop that. And Logan, we have phone lines open. We're taking comments on Facebook and Periscope as well. And I think that people have a lot of questions about this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today. We do have some comments coming in as well. We'll get to some of those throughout the show. One person asked, what was wrong with the title?
Yeah, so Stan, what was the issue with the title? That is interesting.
Too many characters.
Well, sure. Remember, we said that to be in a reconciliation bill, everything has to be budgetary in nature, and Democrats argued that the title was not budgetary in nature. Literally, Jordan. I know that sounds ridiculous. That's literally why it was not allowed in the reconciliation package.
Is there a new name?
The title has just been struck.
Oh, so
from
you can't
that
have like
the bill.
An official item because through
reconciliation. Correct. Like it's a reconciliation.
It still goes through the process. It still goes to the president's desk. The president has to sign this. The discussion, you know, we thought yesterday that this may be kind of moved on, that happens, the actual official signing, kind of to remind people again, may come in January. Now it looks like that may come sooner. So we may actually see this before the holidays. So we will see. But what we can tell you now is that we know exactly what's the legislation. It will be on the president's desk. We can walk through specifics, and we will do that today. 1-800-684-3110 as the president awaits the tax reform legislation so he can officially sign this into law. 1-800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. President Trump just commented on the tax reform and tax cuts that will be heading to his desk momentarily from the House of Representatives. It went through the House, the Senate. There were a couple provisions that got struck. Minor, as Stan said, even as minor as the name of the legislation. It goes back to the House. The House is about to vote on this again. The margins there were it was an easy passage for the House of Representatives. And then it will head to the president's desk. But he just made these comments at a cabinet meeting in Washington, D.C. at the White House. Take a listen.
Let's watch.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate everybody being here. Cabinet meeting. And this looks like it will probably be our last cabinet meeting until the new year. But who knows? You never know what happens with cabinet meetings. We have had some really great and productive ones. And this will be one of celebration. Because of what took place last night, we had a historic victory for the American people. It'll go through final passage today in the House. Then the congressmen and women and the Senate will be coming over, the Republican Senate. Unfortunately, the Democrats don't like to see tax cutting. They like to see tax increases. And they like to complain. But they don't get it done, unfortunately. But they complain a lot. So. We're going to have the Republican senators come over. We're going to have the Republican members of the House come over. And we're going to have a news conference. And people are starting to see how great this historic victory was. The passage of the massive tax cuts and reform. It's a lot of reform in there, but the tax cuts supersede. And I said very specifically, use the word tax cuts. You know, for 34 years, they've been trying to do this, and they haven't, and they use the word reform. Well, there is reform, but I said we're going to be talking about tax cuts. The heart of our bill is a tremendous amount of relief for the middle class, including a doubling of the child tax credit and a nearly doubling of the standard deduction.
That again, is the president speaking to this directly, the legislation that is it's heading to his desk. Than, you said this vote is, for those of you listening live, we're 5-10 minutes out from the final vote in the House of Representatives. No real drama there, except for, again, there'll be a lot of focus on this legislation today, and I think leading through the holidays, about how this will affect specific folks. There's all those calculators out there. And I would encourage people, I mean, that's a better way than just, you know, kind of off-the-cuff asking specifics, because you have your income rates, you have your deductions, you have all these different variables that go into this. But if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110, because there's a lot of opinions on this. There's also a lot of misinformation out there on this. And there's really, the debate is over, Than. This is heading to the president's desk. And for Republicans, for the conservatives who support this legislation, the proof will be not in so much the debate over the text, but this goes into effect right away. And so people should start seeing the effects of it in February in their paychecks. I think that's what it will be judged on ultimately, leading into a midterm election, even the next presidential election.
I think you're right, Jordan. There's been a lot of hot air, a lot of debate that's gone over this bill, but this is actually a point I brought up with the White House just yesterday. I wanted to make sure that the Treasury Department was starting now to draft the changes in regulations that would be necessary for you to see those benefits in your paychecks in February. Jordan, they confirmed that no matter when they decide to do that signing ceremony, that the Treasury Department is literally redrafting those withholding regulations as we speak. So I think late February is the latest possible time that it will take before Americans start seeing the difference in their paycheck. And so, you know, you have leader Nancy Pelosi on the floor right now issuing some closing remarks. It won't really matter what she's saying against this bill when families across America start seeing their paychecks increase by $50 a month or whatever it may be in their particular case. This bill, I would predict, come next spring, Jordan, it's going to be wildly popular across both parties.
All right. So we got some comments on Facebook, though. We have phone calls coming in, 1-800-684-3110.
Kirk. You want to take a Facebook?
Yeah, we can take Kirk's. Yeah.
All right, Kirk on Facebook said, it's amazing to me that Democrats didn't give one single vote in favor of this. Shows they're more interested in obstructing progress. So,
yeah, I don't think they didn't want a legislative victory.
Yeah, we don't live in that kind of time anymore.
Leading into the midterms, at least. Thanet, we had this discussion that maybe if it crosses the threshold for Republicans, that then some Democrats would come on board, especially the Democrats who hail from red states, specifically in the U.S. Senate. But then that was not the case. They stuck to their guns, which I think is a warning to Republicans and conservatives leading into the next election cycle, is that as is the case usually with the Democrats, they stick together and kind of look past even the benefit it may have to them specifically politically in their own states.
Jordan, I think for some of these senators, it was a specific choice to choose party over constituents. And I know that sounds harsh, but I look at, like, for instance, I know we bring his name up a lot, but Joe Manchin in West Virginia. This is going to help West Virginians overwhelmingly. It's going to be wildly popular in his state in just a matter of just a few short months. I really think, Jordan, that he made a mistake politically. He could have, been against maybe some of these tax cuts initially, but I think at the end of the day, he owed it to his constituents to come to the table and to support targeted relief to his constituents. He did not do that. Jordan, I don't know how he goes back and runs for re-election on this particular issue. I think it's going to be very damaging to him and several others the next time they're at the ballot box.
All right, let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110.
Bob in Sacramento, California, line one, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, guys. Hey, listen, I'm glad you mentioned about the fact that it's going to start in February, but I think you need to go broaden it a little bit so people understand. If this affects your taxes by, let's say, $1,200, that's $100 a month, so you divide that $1,200 by a month, and that's how much your interest is going to be, roughly $100 a month. And the American people need to understand that basically this is how it's going to affect them. Then at the end of the year, depending upon how you do your taxes, you may even get some other breaks. So you may even reduce your taxes at the end of the year because you've overpaid. So there's a lot of upside to this, and that's without all job increases or anything. And the American people need to understand, and the Democrats need to understand, when they say this is Armageddon, that people are going to start seeing $100 a month in their income going up. This is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think, in a sense, and Bob, I appreciate your phone call and all the points you made, because I think Nancy Pelosi really, they doubled down on this, the Democrats. They have made this legislation kind of like, I'd compare it to the Affordable Care Act at that kind of level, where you're talking about a massive reform that you haven't seen in three decades, anything like this. And it's happening under President Trump, who they wanted to say, and this Republican Congress that supposedly couldn't get anything done, and then all of a sudden maybe caught them off guard politically and was able to get this now all the way to the president's desk. But take a listen to Nancy Pelosi, because as Bob said, I mean, the way that they have explained this legislation from the other side, I don't think it matters really what's in it. It's that they don't like the fact that a major reform is getting done in President Trump's first year in office, not first term, but first year in office. But take a listen to Nancy Pelosi, the leader of the Democrats in the House of Representatives.
This is the worst bill to ever come to the floor of the House, with stiff competition for what some of the things they've tried to do. It's disgusting, smash and grab.
So there you have it. I mean, strong language, but then, I mean, to me, this again, it goes back to, I don't really care so much about what Nancy Pelosi thinks about specifics of legislation. She didn't read the Affordable Care Act before pushing that down everyone's throat. But at the same time, it's to me, it's that bigger issue of can you get reform done or not? So that's a kind of a first year talking point for President Trump and getting major reform done. But then second, obviously, all of these words and these allegations can come back to haunt the Democrats too. I mean, they think that this is going to come back to haunt Republicans. They doubled down. They got their party members to stick together. But at the end of the day, people start seeing more money in their pocket, more jobs in the country, you know, as the impact long term. There could be a negative impact. I mean, they're risking a lot too by coming out so strongly against this.
I think what she just said there, Jordan, is extremely damaging to many members of her own caucus. She might be able to get away with it in her congressional district in California, but come February or March, where a family of four who's making about $70,000 is going to see more than $2,000 in reduction in their taxes. So to the last caller's point, Bob's point, if you get paid once every 2 weeks, that's $200 in your paycheck every 2 weeks, more than you had before as a direct result of this bill. So if you're representing one of those flyover states and you're in Nancy Pelosi's caucus and she got you to vote against this bill, how are you going to take that message back to your constituents? I don't think you're going to be able to. I agree with you. I think those kind of comments from the Democrat leadership is going to harm down the ranks, maybe not Nancy Pelosi, but those who vote for her to be the leader of their party.
Yeah, obviously, if you're in a deep blue district or state, you know, the whole debate, it goes back to the big debate over you want bigger government, smaller government. So obviously, you know, you can be safe there. When you get into the states that are more down the line, the middle, and want to see legislation that impacts them, this is when you have to have the debate over how it, like most of you who call, you're asking specifics about how it impacts you. How will this change your standing, you know, for Texas this year, next year? And then there's the bigger issue, of course, of the corporate tax cut, which Democrats try to use as a negative, but we believe is a net positive for the country. 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. We got a couple lines open. You can always get your comments out on social media too. And we keep going during the breaks. If you're watching online, we don't take a break. We either show exclusive videos or just keep the discussion going. That's where we take a lot of your comments. So again, that's on social media, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jordan Sekula. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. We're taking your phone calls on Jay Sekulow Live, talking about the tax cuts. President Trump wanted to focus on that specifically. It said it is tax reform, but specific, you know, what people are going to see immediately probably from this is the tax cuts in their paycheck and how it affects middle-class Americans. Remember, if you're not paying any taxes now, and so if you're at an income level, whether it's through retirement or through your specific wage, if you're not paying federal tax now, you're gonna be paying them tomorrow either. But it does go to the kind of the heart of the bigger debate too, over big government, small government, all those issues, because it's not just the individual tax cuts. You've got the corporate tax cuts, small business are affected, so every area of our federal tax code. And we're taking your phone calls about it, take your comments on it, 1-800-684-3110. This legislation's finalized now. Kind of we can double down on that because it's moved its way through the Senate, past the parliamentarian. That is why it's having to have another go through one more round of voting. There were a couple provisions, including the name of this legislation, that were struck down by Democrats in the Senate who just wanted to, delay this vote. It was slim margins there, but it passed, and 51-48, and now heads back to the House one more time. A lot of you listening to this, that will have already happened, so it will be at the president's desk. There's no debate over whether this gets through the House again because that overwhelmingly passed. So we can go right to the phones. Harry Hutchinson's in with us now to answer more of your questions, too, on the specifics.
Let's go to Connor in Denver, Colorado, a comment that we took somewhat on the – if you're watching online, you get to see sort of a preview of some of these. Connor, you're on the air.
Hey, Connor.
Hi, guys. I had a couple quick questions. I know that the Obamacare mandates are going to be gone on this bill, but does that kick in right away, or will that be in 2019? And if that's the case, then should I just, to avoid the penalty, do I just leave my insurance stuff blank, leave it all blank so I don't get a penalty if it's still there?
So already, Connor, on when it goes to the individual mandate, that was zeroed out. So it was technically, you know, it was enforced, so the penalties were still there. But the Trump administration had instructed HHS, IRS, that we're not going to collect on this. So even though these penalties were getting higher, because that was part of the penalty process, which the Supreme Court found was ultimately a tax on the American people, is that it went up from a very small, I think it was $95, spread it over a year if you didn't have health insurance, and it kind of doubles, triples, it goes higher and higher, and that is now being zeroed out by this legislation. But it's ultimately, you're not having to pay that. You're not going to be penalized this year already because of what the Trump administration has done. So that's a positive. And then this will kind of, and that's why I think President Obama has been so opposed to this. This gets to the heart of the Affordable Care Act. So we could, again, for everybody out there, you want to file your taxes specifically, Connor, so I can tell you what to leave out, not, but you're not going to be penalized for this year. And then moving forward, once this legislation is finalized, so long as this is the law of the land.
All right, you want to take some more calls?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to David, South Carolina, on line three.
Hey, David.
Hello. Hey, I'm just really enjoying the conversation about the tax bill, and I'm optimistic about increased revenue down the road. But I'm really curious about addressing actually spending cuts to help close the gap in our budget, because our government doesn't seem to like to live under a budget, and that's going to have to happen. I wish I could not have to live under a budget like they do.
Yeah, it would be a lot easier, I think, for everybody if you could have maybe $20 trillion in debt and keep spending. But I want to go to Harry Hutchinson, because, Harry, this is kind of debate number two. There is going to be stopgap measures because we're facing another one of those deadlines in the budget, but the next major debate is likely on government spending, the programs that we have, and this, I think, is a more difficult debate, as we know from our college, because when you start talking about Social Security or Medicaid or Medicare, we get a lot of calls immediately say, I don't want this changing at all, and so this is a tougher debate than cutting people's taxes, but it is probably the next round of debates, because this will take money away from the government.
I think you're absolutely correct, and I think the caller is absolutely correct as well. Cutting spending is going to be very, very difficult, both discretionary spending and entitlement spending. One of the best places to start, at least in my opinion, is to start with discretionary spending. There is, everyone has said this, lots of fraud and abuse within the system. So why not start cutting there? But we must make sure that there are real cuts. This may include cutting military spending in some cases, not overall necessarily, but certainly in some cases. And I think the key question is whether or not the Republicans have the will to cut spending. And there's an open question with respect to that particular issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people are still surprised, and probably until the president signs this, until it's totally official, Than that this actually made its way through Congress, that because of how difficult it was on the what people probably thought was not as controversial, doing away with the Affordable Care Act and kind of starting over on health care, which became very difficult in Congress. But these tax cuts that we're seeing, the biggest corporate tax cut in history, the individual tax cuts, all of this, I don't think people were predicting this would happen then.
I think on both sides of the aisle, Jordan, this was a huge legislative lift. It was a huge legislative win. And just to underscore the conversation that you just had, you know, it was pretty telling to hear the left on this debate talk about how the way to address deficits is to take more of the American people's money. And that seems to have always been their argument. We need two things to be more competitive when it comes to the deficit. We need to be more competitive on the business side to create jobs and broaden that base to increase revenues into the federal government. And then to Harry's point, we need to quit spending money. And that is going to be the debate that happens next year. But for today, Jordan, we need to really sit on this victory, because what this means is that come February, an average family across America is going to have another $200 every 2 weeks in their paychecks. That is a major win for, we have to say it, House and Senate Republicans. We wanted it to be bipartisan. There was not a single Democrat. It is a victory for House and Senate Republicans and President Trump. And Jordan, it happened before Christmas in the first year of his term. That is a major accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, you can't take away the political impact of this. I think that is ultimately why you saw so much Democrat opposition here, is that this kind of cuts against the narrative that Republicans couldn't get anything done, nothing could get done under President Trump, so it'd all be through executive action. And now we're seeing the largest tax cut in 34 years, and in the first year of his term. And it goes to the heart of your basic ideology of the split between these two parties, Republican and Democrat. Big government, small government, more money to the federal government, less money to the federal government, cutting spending, increasing spending. This goes to all of those issues. And Logan, we're continue to take people's comments.
Yep.
We've got another half hour coming up as well to keep those comments coming in and if questions.
Some networks don't carry the full hour of JCIQ Live, but if you want to change it up or you want to see that next half hour, you can do it many different ways. ACLJ.org has a video feed. You can also find a video feed on Facebook, Periscope, and Twitter at Jordan Seculo or Jay Seculo on Facebook. You can also find us on the ACLJ app archived on. That's on Apple devices, iPhone, Apple TV, iPad. However you get your Apple device, you get it right there. You can also get us on the Roku channel marketplace. Just search for ACLJ. And you can subscribe to the JCIQLA podcast, where pretty quickly after this show's over, it'll be downloaded straight to your phone. It's a great way to if you miss part of it, to catch back up. But again, ACLJ.org, as we have a full half hour coming up after this.
1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. Welcome to the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. We are live. We're waiting the House to vote on the final passage of the tax cuts. And it's a major tax reform legislation that will be heading to the president's desk. Whether it's signed this week or after the first of the year, it's retroactive, so it will start applying immediately in the new year. And that means that people should start seeing an impact in their checkbooks, in their paychecks, as early as February. And on the, again, in some of these provisions, a corporate tax cut, the benefits of that, they're not going to be in the necessarily the first month, but you're going to see, again, companies want to bring more money back into the country. But we want to take people's specifics on this. There's a lot of
misinformation.
Yeah, that went out from mainly the left. And I really do think, take away what this is, it's a massive piece of legislation. They didn't want to see an accomplice like this by President Trump or Republicans in the House, the Senate, because the talking point is they can't work together. They don't like him. He doesn't like them, supposedly. And this party is not able to legislate. And then you have this, the biggest tax cut in 34 years. It's upset the left because I think they were not expecting Republicans to be able to stick together. But this is the one issue that unites Republicans under the big tent of the Republican Party is smaller government tax cuts. And you can see that the moderate Republicans in the Senate, those who, again, disagree on a lot of issues that we care about as conservatives, they came together on this and they stuck together. But we'll get right back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Lynn, who's calling Washington, D.C. Lynn, you're on the air.
Hello. I have a contrary view to yours on this, and it's not tax reform, it's tax cuts. And I am I voted for Trump. I voted for him in the primaries in Washington, D.C., where he got under 400 votes. And so I've been there for him. And I think that some of his, it's important that he's there, but I feel that he's really, really let us down as far as what he's done with this tax bill, the carried interest, the boon that he's given corporations. It's ridiculous. And I know what I'm talking about.
I don't know, Lynn. I mean, you're kind of like saying all the things that you would want. Like, I don't think President Trump would disagree. The boom to corporations in the country is not a bad thing for the working Americans.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you liked about him in the primaries.
Yeah, I mean, this is Mr. Business. And so you can have your viewpoint, but I think that, one, to say it's pro-business, I mean, that's any tax cut that's going to affect industries, and we'll go to Harry Hutchinson, but Harry, any of these tax cuts, this kind of goes to those fundamental different issues. So I'm not questioning whether Lynn did what she said or not, but I do question kind of the understanding maybe of the philosophical differences between the right and the left.
I think that's correct. So by cutting corporate taxes, we will see a reduction in the cost of capital. And this will increase the level of business investment in the United States. Indeed, it will invite capital inflows into the United States. And so many large corporations, particularly pharmaceutical corporations, have situated their manufacturing and other facilities abroad in order to take advantage of favorable tax rates in Ireland, in Amsterdam, and in Europe. Now they will have an incentive to bring those economic resources back to the United States and hire more Americans. So overall, this bill will benefit working class Americans and middle class Americans, as well as corporations.
Yeah, and I don't think, I mean, this is where I disagree with the caller too. I mean, to say, tax cuts, that it's not tax reform, I don't think you're going to get many Republicans who are going to run away from campaigning on I cut your taxes. And many politicians, especially in the purple states, that may not work for in a deep blue. It may not matter as much as a deep red because you're not as contested. But I will tell you, in the races that are tougher, this goes to the fundamental issues of who you support. 1-800-684-3110. Be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
That's right. Exclusive videos coming up.
This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. And for folks who are listening on Facebook and Periscope, they know the House is voting on the final passage of the tax cuts that will be heading to President Trump's desk. And there's 15 minutes or so left on that clock, on the vote clock. This is a formality. We know that this is going to move through the House of Representatives and will ultimately be on the president's desk. It will be signed into law. But we do want to get right to the phones. And Kristen in Pennsylvania has been hanging on line five, and we want to answer this question as well, because there's a lot of you who have questions about the charitable donations. Kristen, welcome to JSEC Hill Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you very much. I thank God for ACLJ, because the mainstream media is just blasting negative messages about this whole thing and fake news. And one thing that I heard online was that there's a fear that the charitable deductions were going to be eliminated from the bill. And so I wanted to give you a chance to address that. And also, before I get cut off, how can we push to repeal the Johnson Amendment, because it's blocking free speech? And I heard that was taken out. So can we get that back in to some other bill?
Yeah, so I mean, we'll address the Johnson Amendment, because that was something that Republicans wanted to do. It was moving through with this. It was just one of those issues that they would say was not enough of an impact budgetarily, so you couldn't go through reconciliation. But we'll address that in a second, just to explain to people who may not know, Kristen, what we're talking about with the Johnson Amendment. But first, on the charitable side, we'll go to Harry on this. The charitable deduction is still there. What most people are focusing on, Harry, is that the standard deduction has been doubled. So there will be less people who have to specifically say, this is how much I donated, so this is how much I'm going to deduct. That was already not the majority of folks, but that number will go up.
You're absolutely correct. So there's a lot of deliberate confusion, premeditated confusion with respect to charitable deductions, and much of this is being pushed by the mainstream media. The importance of charitable deductions for tax purposes is reduced by virtue of doubling the standard deduction. Nonetheless, each and every American can take advantage of their charitable deductions for tax purposes going forward. Nothing in the bill prevents that from occurring.
Yeah, so this is, again, it's kind of the misinformation. And we saw, I mean, it's in the Wall Street Journal just yesterday that, I mean, this is a direct quote from them. The bottom line is that affected taxpayers will no longer get value for deducting charitable donations. But if you, I mean, you start piecing that sentence out even, and this is from someone obviously who does not like the legislation. And some of this was the pre-debate. Remember, people want to do everything they can. The margins were very slim in the U.S. Senate. So they were trying to peel off the votes. They didn't want a legislative victory for Republicans. Take away those tax cuts. Take, you know, if it was the health care issue, they thought with that defeat that Republicans couldn't get their act together working with the White House and get this kind of legislation moving forward. They did. That's politically upsetting, and it cuts against a narrative that the Democrats were kind of successfully starting to build, was that regardless of where you are ideologically, things are not moving forward, and this party couldn't govern. And now this all kind of goes out the window when you've had a reform like this that no one has seen in 30-plus years, 34, I think, years to be exact, that we've seen any kind of legislation like this. But I think it also goes to, as a lot of you out there who are listening to this broadcast and probably support the ACLJ, that the only reason you donate is not for the charitable deduction. You know, and so for people who may not kind of fully grasp why we donate, why we support organizations, and especially on, I think, for ministries and religious organizations, people who listen to our broadcast on stations, it may even be listener-supported as well, nonprofit stations. It's not the only reason why people are donating, is not because of the impact of their taxes. If that was the case, most Americans wouldn't be donating because it wouldn't impact them.
Absolutely.
They wouldn't get that kind of benefit. They're doing it because of the positive impacts in other areas.
They actually care about what the nonprofit does.
Right.
Which I think is what it's odd, because I feel like this is used. Someone said if it was, let's say that tax exempt in status for all charities was removed, would that stop you from giving? You know, Jesus didn't say give, but only if it's tax exempt.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I feel like. Those are the issues that are maybe that the other side doesn't quite understand.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they fully grasp. They thought they could talk people out of saying, "Well, I can't deduct." And I think the folks who were calling into this broadcast were saying, "We're not calling about it in a negative way." They were just they're hearing this as something
that, sure, I mean,
would negatively affect the organizations they like. So they were saying, you know, whether it was a pastor, whether it was someone at the church, oh, this is no longer going to be the case. That is kind of spreading out this. First of all, it's still there. Second of all, it just means that more people are going to be using a standard deduction. They were already doing that. Organizations were doing just fine. And it just increases that the number of folks who will be much easier for them to file their taxes. 1-800-684-3110. Let's keep taking calls.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Tim in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Hey, Tim.
Yes. President Trump has stated over and over that his accountants do not like this new tax bill, but that is not true. Him and his family are going to get a huge tax break.
Well, listen, the top tax percent is cut 2%, basically, from so the highest tax rate, which presumably he would be in every year. And I say presumably because the top income earners in America, Harry, oftentimes take so many advantages of different deductions that were in the tax legislation before, because they can pay experts, attorneys, tax specialists to utilize a lot of that is cut out now and simplified, so that maybe that his effective tax rate is down 2%, but that and again, there's talking about in general, but the deductions aren't there anymore. There's not as much wiggle room to play with for the highest income earners in America, who honestly weren't paying those. They were not paying at a 39% rate to begin with.
Yes. So I don't know very much about the president's precise tax situation. I've never seen the president's tax returns. However, my presumption is he will see fewer deductions going forward. And that conclusion will apply to a large number of wealthy Americans.
Yeah, and so that's the issue. It may not be, again, on the top line, take 2% off immediately from, but that is not how our system works. It's not just about your income level. It's about the deductions, especially the higher up you go, how you're taking in the income. Is it in, you know, investments? Is it liquid? Is it how much income are you taking that year? It's very different for folks, and they were taking advantage, again, of legally of a very complicated tax code that was probably benefiting them more. And I think that's what the general statement is about. 1-800-684-3110. We've gone through a lot of calls. We've got some phone lines open.
Yeah, we've cleared the lines. We have a couple open right now. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. 684-3110. You think I know it by now?
Yeah. So we'll go to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. So Than, on all these issues, people probably are more engaged on this, even than healthcare, which affects everybody as well. But it's kind of that level of engagement where people want to know how it affects them immediately, long term. It's not across the board just if you're a Republican, if you were a Democrat. It's kind of where you're getting your source of information. But I think that then this debate does go out the window. It will now. It's kind of there. I think the Republicans, conservatives, people who support this kind of lives or dies based on how this actually affects people. Not talking points anymore. Not hypotheticals anymore. It goes into effect. January 2019. Will people see their cuts? Do the businesses reinvest? We will know all of this fairly shortly in the way our economy works.
Well, I think the best thing about the bill, Jordan, is how comprehensive it is. On the corporate side, I think you are going to generate more competitiveness, more revenue. On the individual side, the savings really goes across the bracket. So, yes, to the top end, but really targeted at that lower and middle class, especially when it comes to the child tax credits. So, Jordan, I think you're right. I think come February, when people open their paychecks and realize that they have more money as a result of this bill, no matter their party affiliation, they are going to like this bill. And just one other point, because the charitable contribution argument, as we've gone through this debate, has really upset me, because the argument is basically if you add up all your itemized deductions and you're only giving $15,000, and now this bill will let you deduct more than that, it will let you deduct $24,000 if you're married filing jointly, that's somehow bad is a ridiculous argument, Jordan. So they can continue to make it, but come February, when Americans open their paycheck, all of those arguments are going to go out the window, and you're going to see bipartisan support for this legislation.
Yeah, and I mean, all it gives people more money. I mean, if they want to donate more, they get to decide how they spend the money. It's not the government deciding for them. 1-800-684-3110. Another segment is left. We run through the phone calls, but the phone lines are filling up again. But we do have a couple open. So 1-800-684-3110. We'll take comments, too, on Facebook and Periscope.
How about when, Debbie asked? When is the vote?
It's happening right now. The final vote is literally happening. It's done in 3 minutes.
Turn on the TV because I want you to listen to our show, but it's happening
right
now.
This is a formality vote.
There's not like half the people not there.
It's going to the president's desk.
In 2.5 minutes.
And this is, again, it's a formality in the House of Representatives. It's a formality. People are paying attention to it. It's a big deal because this is the biggest tax cut in 30-plus years in the United States. And again, the individual side and the corporate side. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. As the tax cuts, tax reform heads to the president's desk, this is it's a formality. It's going through the House of Representatives as we speak, and this will head to the president's desk. So what we're talking about right now on the broadcast, these are specifics to the legislation, not hypotheticals, not what's in the House version versus the Senate version. This is what's actually there. So 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones.
All right, let's go to Beverly, who is calling in Oregon on line one. And again, you can give us a call. Beverly, you're on the air.
Hi, Beverly.
Hi. I just want to congratulate the president, all the Republicans, and I love the Jay Sekulow.
Well, thank you, Beverly. Right. We appreciate that and your support. And listen, it is a big political victory. As Beverly said, you know, specific to Republicans, then they didn't get any help from Democrats, not even the purple state Democrats or the red state Democrats. The Republicans did this all on their own. So it sets up the issue, which is it good? Is it a positive? Does it actually, which we believe it is, but ultimately all the beliefs and what this may do or may not do goes out the window because we're actually going to see it go into effect.
I feel pretty strongly, Jordan, that it will be to the political detriment of Democrats who represent many working class constituents, especially in middle America. And look, I'm watching the House vote on the floor right now. Paul Ryan is in the speaker's chair, even though this vote is a mere formality. And actually, it's been interesting to watch the videos that have come out about him over the last 30 years working on this. In the early ones, Jordan, he looks like he's about 12 years old. I mean, that's how long he's been working on it. That's how long in coming these tax cuts have been. And again, we've said it till we're blue in the face. But when people start getting more money in their paychecks, you can, no matter what you think of the president, no matter what you think of Speaker Ryan or Leader McConnell, you are going to like this bill no matter what your congressman says about it.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. Right back to the phones we go. And tomorrow on the broadcast, I do want to say that we talked about this on Monday with the UN at the Security Council, the issue with Jerusalem. This is now, it did not work at the Security Council for, which is a more official body of the 15 members and the five, like the United States. We vetoed that move. But the General Assembly is taking this up at the United Nations, which, again, they don't have as much immediate power. They can pass these resolutions, but just the nastiness of this one. Take a listen. The UN General Assembly is scheduled to hold a special emergency session tomorrow to disavow Israeli sovereignty over Jerusalem at the request of, first of all, one of these countries which is going through its own civil war. So I don't even know who in Yemen suggested this, whether it was the Shia-backed rebels or the Sunni-backed government that's barely in power, shooting rockets at Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. But even when they're in civil war, these countries don't, they still got time to take up Israel at the United Nations. They will always make time for that. 1-800-684-3110. Back to the phones we go. We'll get into that tomorrow on the broadcast.
All right, let's go to Nancy in California, line three. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. I have probably a really dumb question everybody else might know, but if the new tax law is done under budget reconciliation, does that mean that it's going to have to be renewed each time there's a new budget, or does this now become law?
So on the corporate side, this is the law of the land. There's no expiration day for these tax cuts. Then on the individual side, there is an expiration date, sunset clauses, they're called. And then it would have to be renewed, but not every year.
So that's right. All of these changes are written into the code, Jordan. So none of them are subject to a year-to-year rim, although, of course, any Congress can change the tax code. It's a very hard thing to do. Hasn't been done in more than three decades. Yeah. But there's nothing under budget restraints that does that. On the individual side, you're right, Jordan. The rates and several of the other provisions technically do expire in 2025. But before people panic on that, I just want you to know every tax cut that's happened in recent history, it's happened that way, and then it has ultimately been extended. You essentially, you do it to get a lower score on the bill to be able to move it through budget reconciliation rules, Jordan. So I do expect those will be made permanent. Technically, right now, there is a 2025 expiration, but I expect that to be pushed out.
Yeah, so it's not a dumb question, because this was used as a talking point. I heard it today coming into the radio studio that, you know, this expires. That was the way that one of the broadcasts was explaining this. And that is just not fair to say, because as Stan said, historically, yes, it has an end date, but they keep getting renewed. So you haven't seen any tax cuts not be renewed once you pull down rates to this level. And so to say that they're just gone for planning purposes is not accurate if you actually look historically in the United States. But that is how some media outlets are reporting. So it's a good question. 1-800-684-3110. Last time again with the number.
Yeah.
Back to the phone.
Enough time. We'll see. Keith in Illinois online too. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering on this new tax thing that they're doing, if it does anything for Planned Parenthood.
So this legislation doesn't go at organization. I mean, this is, again, remember, Planned Parenthood is a 501c3 organization. They were not paying taxes to begin with, Harry. So it's not affecting whether you're a Planned Parenthood. There's some spending issues that are coming up that may affect Planned Parenthood. This was not the legislation for that. Now, I would say maybe the individual mandate, you know, these taking out the Affordable Care Act, indirectly, if you want to say, but maybe more specific, because without this legislation, which now has passed the House, so we can officially say it's heading to the president's desk, no question about it. But Harry, it's not the legislative vehicle for this. We are seeing this coming up ultimately, but there's a lot of talk about the charitable organizations.
Right. The Obamacare repeal and replacement legislation in both the House and the Senate, as I understand it, would have defunded Planned Parenthood. But that legislation was not enacted, and taxes and tax legislation is clearly not the vehicle for changing funding for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and so ultimately it may have effects because of what is happening for the individual mandate and zeroing that out officially through legislation. That call dropped. So this is officially done now. It happened right before we were finished with our broadcast. So, Than, this heads to the president's desk. It passed. Did it get any Democrat support? So I think that there's still some votes out there because it's crossed the threshold. But any Democrats, even the House of Representatives that are kind of breaking with party?
It doesn't look like it, Jordan. They took the tally down, but when they did, there were no Democrats voting in favor of it. We know there were no Democrats in the United States Senate that supported it. But guess what, Jordan? It didn't matter. This bill is now going to be law. And the biggest tax change, biggest tax cut, I think even President Trump has embraced that term, biggest tax cut in more than 30 years is going to be law in just a matter of a few short days and just a couple months before that money's in your paycheck.
And this sets up, again, I think the bigger debate, which is we'll actually see it go into force. We actually see the effects and leading into a midterm election, leading into another presidential election. This was a major legislative accomplishment. You can't take that away from the Republicans. You can't take that away from President Trump. Whether you agree or disagree, these are the kind of accomplishments that build a presidency. It's happened in its first year in office, not first term, first year in office. But it is one of those issues where you're putting it on the line as well. You're saying, this is what I wanted to do. I'm doing this early. So people like it. They can vote for the same party. If they don't like it, they can change things. And you're doing that early. And I think that that's also fair for the American people because ultimately it's legislation. It can be changed if you don't like it. There will be amendments to this as well. We appreciate everybody's phone calls. We'll talk about Israel tomorrow at the UN. Thanks for joining us on JSEC Hill Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.